What's for dinner? What's for dinner? What's for dinner? Talking about what's ever on their minds. Talking about what's ever on their minds.
I don't know, turning out. I'm like,
what's for dinner? What's for dinner? What's for dinner?
You sound like my Jewish grandmother.
What's for dinner?
I'm trying to do the Edith Bunker of opening credits. Oh, what's for dinner? It's the worst Edith Bunker ever.
Awful, awful.
I'll own up to how horrible that was.
Wow, that's loud. Let me turn that down a little bit. Hey, everybody. Hey. Oh my goodness! We didn't even say hi. Hi, welcome to the. We're just gonna jump right into the bullshit.
Look at you right over there. Hello.
Yes. Welcome, guys, to a fun-filled episode, an FF episode, an episode.
Yes.
An FF episode. FF episode. Fucking whatever.
Oh, it's gone.
I'm just gone. I'm like, I am gone there. Welcome to What's for Dinner, guys.
Yay.
We are. This is cool. We're actually broadcasting. Here at the San Luis Obispo Comedy Festival, the Slow Fest,
yes!
as they call it in the business, our second road podcast. First was Anchorage.
Oh, well, you mean me with you? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
because you've done a few on your own.
I have done a few on my own, but this
you've
is the first one that or second one that we're doing traveling. And
we're double teaming people all over the country.
It's a deep. It's a DP podcast.
Yes, it is.
Yes,
it's
on many deep, levels. Yeah.
It's a DT. A DT of DP.
It's a Daniel Tosh podcast, everybody. And
it's a double team of double P.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. And this is very cool because here at Slow Fest, and you could check out any information at slowfest.com, we're here working with 40 of the best comics around, like all over the country, really. And this
so
show,
much fun.
This episode, we're lucky enough to have not only one of, honestly, one of the better comics out there, really, as far as writing and successes and accomplishments, but also I think one of my oldest LA comic friends.
Yes, absolutely. We met before you even came to LA.
Did we?
And,
oh, that's right, in Tulsa.
Yeah.
No, not Tulsa.
Omaha.
Omaha.
Close.
That's right.
Yes. It's the same thing, really.
That's right, Omaha. We got to tell that story.
Yeah, yeah, we do.
folks, right now on the podcast, Dwayne Perkins is here, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Dwayne Perkins, yay.
DP. DP on the DT with the DP. There you go.
Oh, shit, exactly. It's a double DP, DT, DP.
It is a,
I love it.
A double DP episode.
It is.
It is a...
Whoops. And we're going to be DPing you later, DP, so we'd be prepared.
Awesome.
That's the kind of podcast we should have let him know ahead of
we
time.
We should have, yeah. This
right,
is
right,
a...
Right.
It's
a porn cast.
We mean who's eating Alan.
Right.
Yes, exactly.
sorry, is that...
I'm pretty sure I yesterday when we were hanging out, I did some sort of swinger secret handshake thing, and I wasn't aware... And I signed up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Dwayne, you didn't realize when right. When you said hello to both of us while she was on my right.
That was the
yeah,
acceptance.
That is swinger code for I will join
it's
in.
It's happening.
Has she been on my left, you would
right.
have been
He's
fine.
Like, hey, I don't do that.
We would have actually owed you a pastrami sandwich.
Right. Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Specifically, yeah. On rye.
No, you got to make sure she's on the left.
Be prepared for
remember,
yeah,
left
anything
is pastrami,
with us.
Right is fucker with me
is
watching.
Sausage.
Yes.
It depends
right.
on the
right.
meat,
sausage.
Yes. The meat and the entryway is dependent upon which side you are on.
The meat and the entryway? I feel like I'm on the 405 highway. Just like,
you either eat the meat or you receive
it. Or do I want to get on that entry? Right. I don't want to fight traffic on the 405. I'll just have the meat.
Oh, yes.
But yeah, Dwayne Perkins. Seriously, if by chance you don't know who Dwayne Perkins is, definitely check him out online and everything. But yeah, Dwayne and I we first met in Omaha, Nebraska.
Yes,
we were working the. It wasn't the Funny Bone.
No, it was.
Was it the Funny Bone?
Yeah,
or
funny
no?
Bone.
It was the Funny
yeah,
Bone.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
In Omaha, and Dwayne, if I remember correctly. Be around 2000.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
About 2000.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I remember I was on a 4-week tour, and because my girlfriend at the time had just broken up with me, so this is my fuck her tour.
Right.
And Dwayne.
I still have one of the t-shirts, the fuck her.
The fuck her tour. Yeah. And Dwayne, I think you, the booker, had just seen you in Montreal. I remember you telling
yes,
me about
yes,
that.
Colleen, yes.
Colleen Quinn.
Yep.
And, We were working together. We hit it off immediately, and Dwayne was talking about McDonald's on stage.
This
right?
is correct. Yes,
I don't remember if it was a bit or he's just kind of riffing.
You know, I think it was a bit that I don't do anymore. Maybe I can't remember. I think I've had my share of McDonald's bits, but probably just I don't know, but I know what flipped it. I know that.
Yeah. So, but the bit was just talking about how you like McDonald's, something positive about McDonald's,
maybe,
or
yeah,
something like that.
At the time, my mother told me I should do a McDonald's commercial, and I didn't know where to start. So I figured if I just do some commercials, some jokes, and maybe
someone at McDonald's. Obviously, and Omaha is the head of McDonald's.
Is that right? I did not know that.
No,
is that not true?
Tell
okay. It's California, isn't it?
Probably.
Yeah, yeah. Well, go ahead. Yeah.
I mean, Omaha's real beef, so obviously it's not McDonald's. And hello. And so there was a McDonald's in the complex where the comedy club was. So after Dwayne did this bit, I kind of got this little idea, and I ran over to McDonald's. I got him like a cheeseburger meal or something. Ran back while he was still on stage, and I brought him up to McDonald's.
This is true.
Yes. And
how adorable!
And I remember Dwayne was like, "Oh man, that's so," and he just started eating the McDonald's while he was doing his act.
Yes, that's commitment to the bit.
Yeah,
no, it was great. It was great. It was the crowd loved it, and it worked out really well. It was actually
how a good thing for you there wasn't a line. Good thing for you that you had a long set.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
right.
All the stars aligned.
I'm glad you didn't close on the bit because it would have been really awkward to run back. Wait, everybody, wait here for like 15 minutes. Right. I got something funny.
Can I have Dwayne Perkins come back to the stage? And here's your McDonald's.
And the thing is that's like before videos and YouTube. That would have been a great thing to capture.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if we do it now, people hearing this will know it's staged.
Yeah, that's true.
Be a little bit like frauds.
All 10 of them will.
I know that. Hey, we got 12 now.
It's true.
Distinct listeners.
Thank you to the newbies.
To the new folks.
Okay, there's plenty of you guys, and we love every one of you.
Listen, you have more listeners than the Big East has teams.
Nice.
You have no idea what he's talking about.
The Big East has teams, like the East Coast, right? No? I mean, I could decipher. I might not be a sports person. I was able to decipher words.
It's pretty good getting out of context.
Sport is Big East? What is that reference to?
I don't know. Hockey? No, I don't know. Football? I mean, it could be football because the East has plenty of football teams.
Well, that would be NFL and AFL.
Yeah. It's mainly basketball. They have football teams, but they're breaking up the Big East. But I don't want to, you know.
It's because all the tall people.
I'll save that for the sports podcast.
All the tall people moved west.
I mean, I know that, but I'm not a sports fan.
Not only are they breaking up the Big East, right before they, because traditionally it was like these Catholic schools in the East. And then because of technology and flying, they were like, let's let Notre Dame be in the Big East. And it got silly. Now there's actually a team in San Diego that's going to be a part of the Big East.
Really?
Yeah, so it's just like, come on, guys, what are we doing?
Well, that's not the Big East anymore.
That should be the Big East plus one.
Sounds like you're talking about an Indian reservation. We moved to the Big East. Hawk flyover.
Many moon ago.
Exactly.
When the players ran down court, we stayed on one side while others on the other. But now, with the advent of Northwest Airlines Spirit, we can fly. I don't know.
So you called me out on my bullshit. Now I'm like just going to play into how much I have no idea what y'all are talking about. So, Big East.
Well, I mean, it was my fault for even, you know, I got to keep my analogies in order when I'm. This is not a sports situation.
When you're non-sports people. Right. Exactly.
Well, I know what you're talking about. I don't know any, probably couldn't tell you first team on the Big East, I knew it was basketball. That's the only card I can hold above you. What does he mean by Big East? What sport?
There you go.
Beyond that, I got nothing.
Right. That's not like a super card either.
No, it's not a super card. Yeah. It's the weakest of any sport playing card.
You can't like slam it on the table and say, suck it. You
suck
can't,
it. You know. Big East is basketball. Who's a man? Give me my $1 million, Regis.
I'll ask you guys my one sports question that I know, and I make it seem like I know what I'm talking about. There are, God, I'm trying to think real quick. Name, is it two or one? Name the two teams, excuse me, three teams that are professional ball teams, specifically ball playing in any regard. Name the three teams that don't have a plural, they don't end in S.
Three teams that don't end in S.
Yeah.
The, Miami Heat.
Nice.
Orlando Magic.
Bam. Two Florida.
And
this is the one that gets everybody.
The Utah Jazz.
Bam! I think I told you that a million years ago. No, you knew it. Okay. All right.
Pretty solid. Pretty solid.
Hey, I know what I'm talking about. Ball players. Everybody's got to be double timing.
Really?
The Jazz, the Heat, and the Magic know what it's like to just stand alone. I don't know. Say it. Whatever. I'm done.
No, it's okay. That's good trivia, honey. I'm actually impressed. Yeah.
And I guess the LA Galaxy wouldn't count because that's soccer, and it's kind of like
did you say sports teams?
It's got to be ball team because like it couldn't be hockey and it couldn't be
soccer. What about the Red Sox? aren't they?
The red and white. Excuse me. So there's a total of five. There's a total of five. There's a total of five.
Red Sox and White Sox.
I was trying to think what the other
two are. Because they have the S sound, but it's not an S that it ends on.
Same with jazz.
Well, what?
Sounds like a z. Well, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, it has
that,
a sound.
That sounds like a z. It's a z. It's not an s.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like the jazzes.
Today's show is brought to you by the letter z.
But if you hand in a paper to your teacher, and for some reason she wanted you to write a paper about socks, you're going to have to spell those. Every time you have the word socks, it's going to have to be S-O-C-K-S.
Right.
Or else you're looking at a B-plus tops if you have S-O-X.
Tops with a z.
Right.
B-plus tops. T-O-P-Z.
So they're taking a little liberty with the X. So it's like they don't count, I guess is what I'm saying. Because socks is really...
It should be CKS.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know why that's SOX?
I was about to ask. As opposed to...
I wonder if there was some kind of abbreviation thing that they just didn't have enough ink.
You know,
probably
what
to save money, yeah. Or just to be sort of like kind of cool back
and this
in
is before like
1901.
X games.
Yeah, this is...
Way before the X. See, the Red Sox and White Sox, they were onto something 100 years ago before... The X became the popular.
They were
extreme.
The original faux show people. Like they're the ones who like decided to change the spelling of shit just to be like, you know, biznatch or something.
Right,
you
right.
know, like where
biznatch.
You just or you know where you say like, I don't know, you put a Z on the end to make things like D's nuts.
Yeah,
I don't know.
D's nuts showbiz.
Yeah, with a Z.
I got you.
They were the original. They were the.
So
pioneers.
I wonder if the original name of the outlaw was Sorrow.
And then they were like, bitch, let's put that Z on there and make this spicy.
See, tell me I don't know how to bring a comedy thought to a halt.
There we go. There we go. So let's talk to Dwayne.
It's a gift
Dwayne. I'm all excited.
Yeah, are you guys enjoying San Luis Obispo?
Oh, God.
Well, this is our third year coming up. This is a really fun festival. It's only been one day so far, but how are you liking it?
I'm loving it. I'm loving it. McDonald's.
Back to McDonald's.
I was about to
back
say. To McDonald's. I took the gulp too late.
I walked up to a coffee shop, which was not Starbucks. So
was that Pete's?
No, I went to the Steinberg, actually, where we're having shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And great little coffee shop. I enjoyed myself there. Because I'm a Starbucks guy, and I catch a lot of flack. But
when you're in LA, it's either Starbucks or coffee beans.
They're everywhere. They're everywhere. And I'm like a GPS. Like, people call me in LA and they tell me where they're at. And I'm like, there's a Starbucks on, you know, like, I just know where all the Starbucks are.
Are you DPS?
I guess so. I'm DPS, yeah.
I was going to say Dwayne Percolate.
Right.
Instead of Perkins Percolate.
There you go. I even know Starbucks that are like in Targets and like, you know, in dealerships, in car dealerships, like the ones that you wouldn't
they have
know
Starbucks
about.
Yeah, this Albertsons.
They do, yeah.
In dealerships?
Yeah, yeah. And the Galpin Jaguar on on Roscoe Boulevard, right off the 405. There's a really nice Starbucks in there with Wi-Fi. Toyota Longo and Monty off the 10. They have a Starbucks in there as well.
These companies are going to love the shit out of you. They're like, you know what? We not only have Jaguars.
Wait, so you could walk in and like, hey, you're looking for a Jaguar? No, it's just a mochaccino.
Yeah, I do that sometimes. Yeah, just sort of. You know, it's weird.
Do you have to walk through the showroom?
You do. And the thing is, I must not look like I have money because no one's ever even tried to sell me a car. They're like, you're going to Starbucks.
Starbucks.
We see what's happening there.
He has $4.
It's
he doesn't have $40,000.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
The book bag, the Sambas, you know, they're like, okay. The track jacket, like, just please don't stand near the Jaguar, please.
Yeah, you're bringing down the value by getting that close. Every foot away ups the value back to retail. Talk about 405, like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you do a bit about the 405, right?
I do, yeah, yeah.
Have you ever heard his 405 bit?
I don't think I have, no.
It is really, like, because so many L.A. jokes are so L.A.-centric that you either have to live in L.A. or been to L.A. to get it.
Like, yeah.
I've seen guys go on the road doing jokes about Ralph's.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
about Venice Beach, or
which,
even
it is no excuse for that. Just learn the supermarket that's
there. That's nearby. Yeah. It's just
very
the supermarket, exactly. But yeah, the thing, I mean, for the listeners that aren't from Los Angeles, the reason why everybody talks about the 405 is because it's a parking lot literally every time of the day.
Right, right. And some guys go on the road and might talk about the 405, but it's such a they do such LA specific jokes that just doesn't work. Dwayne's 405 joke is so fucking good. Plus, it is. It's a great joke in and of itself if you know the 405, but even if you don't, you could probably, and correct me if I'm wrong, but if...
I've done it a few times where I'll change the highway. You know, it never hits quite
as the 405.
As the 405, because people live that, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to ask, like, because when you go on the road, I was going to actually ask if you say There's a highway in L.A. that I call the 405, which is very much like your
Well, blank. You know, I've done that, but the thing about the joke is that at the end of the joke, there's a payoff that helps if you're from L.A.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I can do that joke. I can do it anywhere in California, and I can do it like really far east. I just have to change one name of a street. So basically two things happened. One, I realized that Seinfeld had a similar joke. Like, I never saw him do it, but just watching Seinfeld like reruns, I saw it one day. And it was only a small part of my joke, the whole joke. So I'm like,
it's your own interpretation.
I could kind of still do it. And so that combined with people not being from L.A., I still do it in L.A., though. And it's still.
Oh, I'm not surprised. Like I said, it's a great joke.
I want to hear it now because I don't know it. I don't want to be like, hey, can you just do your bits right now?
No, I'll do it.
Please do it. We would love it.
And keep in mind, I know that there's a small part that is similar to a Seinfeld bit. But I talk about the 405 and I go, you know, if you have to live in L.A., like she said, it's a parking lot.
So any time of the day, it's a parking lot. Yeah.
I go, yeah, the 405 is the worst highway in America. I don't know if you notice that 20 years from now during rush hour, it's going to go backwards. A lot of people don't know that. Like, this is some bullshit. I'm never getting to work. Can I get in, please? Can I just get? I'm looking back right now.
Yes, he's doing a physical bit. I'm looking back
as I drive. And I go, you know what? You should never take the 405 ever, right? Like, I don't care what day it is, what time it is. Because even if it's 3 in the morning, what do they do? They close 4 lanes.
Yes.
Because they don't even want you to get used to what it feels like to drive on a 405. They don't want to mess up the order of the universe that is L.A. But the thing is, if you don't take the 405 in a long time, you forget. You forget the 405 is kind of like an ex-girlfriend. You haven't seen her in a while. You're thinking, maybe she's changed. You know, they don't change. And then there's another part of the joke that really only works in L.A. where I go, the thing is, too many people live in L.A., so we need, like, I think we need on every on-ramp a bouncer, like a highway bouncer. You should only be allowed to use the highway for, like, real things. So a medical emergency, on your way to work, or you're going to go get some, some loving. And if it's the last thing, you have to know for a fact. You can't have a hunch. In fact, we're going to have the highway bouncer call to confirm to make sure this is going to go down for you. Like, Susan, how's it going? Look, I got Jeff over here. Is he going to close the deal tonight or what? Okay. I tell him take Sepulveda. All righty. I'll talk to you later.
Nice.
And Sepulveda is the service road parallel to the highway. Right. So
it'll basically take you way faster, and it's the side street, but it'll take you way faster along the 405. It's amazing.
Yeah. It's you know what? That's a thing we really should explore. Like, what's wrong with Angelenos? Like, I'm from New York. You're from Florida. Where are you from?
Florida, funny enough. I'm from here. I mean, like, near him.
There is, but you met in L.A.
Yeah.
Isn't that random?
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. But you know, that, like in New York, there would never be a highway that was jammed packed all the time, right?
Yeah.
Well, and most then, streets are jam packed in New York, in Manhattan especially.
Well, in Manhattan.
The
but
streets.
People don't drive, right? But let's say, like, even going out to Brooklyn, going out to Queens, and there's a highway that's packed, but there's a service road that's pretty decent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be packed too in New York. Like the fact that Angelenos will be on the 405. And won't get off and take Sepulveda is another thing that's like, why won't you do that? Like,
because in their mind they're like, well, there's lights, and you're like, but when there's no lights, you're going 50 miles an hour, and you're waiting for 2 minutes to go freaking 50.
But LA people do that all the time. Like in New York, we fill in the spaces. Like, you ever stuck in a lane and like this, like you can't see ahead of you, and you're stuck in a lane, and then when you get to what's happening, there's this other lane that none of the cars are going.
Yeah,
and for no reason. Yeah. It's purely an LA thing. It's really weird.
It really, like, I will. It's like you'll be stuck in traffic for 30, 40 minutes, and it's like and then like you'll be way back in traffic, but ahead you can see traffic moving.
Right.
And like,
right.
Why is it moving up there, but maybe 100 feet back here? It's not. And then once you get to this, it's like a weird border. It's like suddenly you've crossed this point and you're moving.
Yeah,
that's
true.
There's no reason it was stopped.
I think it's because people getting on and off, there's so much, like, because one person is needing to, you know, zipper themselves into the situation, everybody's got to be like,
I'm not even talking about people merging in from an off-ramp. I mean, literally in the middle of a highway,
there's just,
it's stopped and then go.
I think because everybody's brake light sensitive. They're like, oh, I see brake lights all the way up there. I will put them on.
It's like a ripple effect of brake lights. Yeah. They just go all the way back.
Yeah.
Wow, it's like a time ripple.
You know, okay. I love talking about this car thing only because...
Is this a stimulating podcast or what?
Well, you know, I almost got into a talk about this, like, two of my friends, okay, were driving to a gig in San Diego. And because when you guys talk about, like, that thing where people stop and it causes that ripple effect, mm-hmm. that's like a human condition. Because we're driving. But if machines drove, that wouldn't happen. Like, those
would be perfectly syncopated, yeah.
Yeah, like, I took a business class in, like, production. And there's sort of a... When you have that that lag that causes a domino effect, that I forget the term, it is a business term, and there's a way to sort of avoid that. And so in my mind, the way to avoid that is cars driving themselves, right?
I don't trust that.
Google is working
on it. Autopilot, yeah.
Google is working on it. So cut to, and I'm glad you said you don't trust it, because that was their argument, that people wouldn't trust it. But cut to, maybe 6 years ago, driving with some comics, and I just casually, while we're driving, just to make up some conversation, I go, you know, the technology's there for cars to drive themselves. I mean, you're probably going to see it in about 10 years, you know. And then these two guys could not disagree with me more. Like, just, it was outrageous. And I was like, well, we have GPS, and it tells you exactly where to turn. Yeah. So the only thing would be to tell the car when to turn.
Yeah.
And then you just don't turn it. And then, obviously, you'd have sensors on the car to sense another car. And I swear to you, these are two pretty good friends of mine. I was this close to fighting them. Like the pulling
like
over.
Physical?
Really?
Yeah, the physically fighting them. I mean, they don't know that.
they do now.
and you know, it's not about me being right, because you're right. Like, some people won't want to give up that thing. But once the technology is there, like, you know, their argument was, well, you can't have cars that drive themselves on the same highway with people driving. And I'm like, why can't you? Like,
easy.
They're following the same rules a person would make, except it's like the perfect person who won't make a mistake.
See, okay, here's my my qualm.
Right.
One. Have you ever? You've seen Minority Report?
Great Tom movie. Cruise, right?
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
I think I may have. I'm not sure.
Basically, in that movie, it's the same idea. Cars drive them. You get in the car, go take me home.
And iRobot, they drove themselves too, but it was more of a track system.
Yeah, that's kind of what Minority exactly. Report is too. And but then in Minority Report, like. I don't want to give anything away, but
they had
from a 15-year-old movie. Yeah, I think he's okay. Go ahead.
Right. Spoiler alert.
Yes, exactly.
Let's just say Tom Cruise.
Did you know in Shawshank Redemption he got out?
Gets back home, right?
Did you hear that he got out? Did you know that Kevin Spacey was freaking? God, what's his name? Fuck. Oh my God.
Lex Luthor.
Tim Robbins.
No, oh my God.
Kaiser Sose.
Thank you, Kaiser Sose.
Right. Oh, brain you, fart.
Okay. Oh, I'm good. I'm done.
So anyway,
okay.
You fucking bitch.
You love
and,
me.
I love you very much. In Minority Report, Tom Cruise's character, he's in his car, and he, like, he's being wanted or whatever.
Right.
And the police take over his car. Like, the car right. goes, you have been suspended by the police or whatever, and the car pulls itself over. I'm like, that could...
It takes away free will.
Takes away free will. Somebody could hack into that and, like... Take your car, or
we're already there.
Yeah, we're already there. No,
we're not already there.
Think about, you know, it's funny when he says that the sensors would do it. You know that Roomba vacuum cleaner?
Uh-huh.
It's timed perfectly to know when to go off on its own. Like, once you program it, it's done. You never touch it again.
Uh-huh.
And it will sensor itself around and go, oop, there's a table there. Let me not touch the table.
Right,
I'm going to go around it. It's the exact same technology.
It's
exact
crazy.
Same.
Right.
Hey, you're programmed to go off at a certain time. Cool. Go ahead and just turn me off.
I'm sorry about that.
You go ahead and you just program the thing and say, I need to get to this GPS location. Yep, it's done.
Doing it a little faster.
It's done.
But I'll tell you why we're there. Because your phone is a tracking device at all points.
Yes. Scary.
Yeah, but the phone can't take over your car.
But we have OnStar. So you don't even know if that's even on. Maybe OnStar can do that. We don't know about it yet.
Well,
what if you make it a kit and then have it be...
Well, OnStar can start your car.
It can start your car. So
couldn't OnStar
drive your car? We're on that path is what I'm saying.
Well,
so they must be able to stop your car.
But if you have OnStar, that's still a choice.
If you have OnStar, still a choice.
That's still a choice. Like, I wouldn't want cars to come now... fully automated like that. Too.
Right.
But what if you could
controlling my car?
But what if you could program it to be your buddy, like Kit from Knight Rider? And then you're like, okay, Kit, it's you and me. We're going to rob this place blind, and you drive away. You don't listen to the cops.
So
you don't
do
anything.
You know what? Kit would be awesome.
It's your own robot.
But let's be honest. What Kit's had bad days. I'm not sure if you ever really watched.
Well, yeah,
no, I didn't.
Remember his cousin.
I was going to say. He had an identical twin
or whatever.
Yeah, I think that was called.
Was it Tick?
No, it was. What the hell? Oh, fuck.
It wasn't Cat, was it?
No.
Kitten Cat. Right? Give me a break.
Give me a break
already.
I just saw it, actually.
Honey, Google that.
Oh, fuck.
I can do it, too. I have my
iPad. Oh, no, I got it right here. Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, but the thing is,
Google what Kit's enemy?
Kit's evil twin.
But that's the thing. Okay. You think that it's going to be something that happens.
Knight Rider.
Sure, if you wake up tomorrow and they say, your car drives itself and we can control it, you're going to be like, hell no. But it's subtle. It's like, we'll give you OnStar. Then we'll...
Still.
Everything is subtle.
Just like if with your computer. If you, like, now, like, with the cookies and the amount of stuff that Google does, no one even knows what Google does. And if they said it up front, this is what we're going to do, you'd be like, no. But most people get online and it's... There's like a... Digital fingerprint, you know?
Yeah, no, well, that's true, but there's still...
Kit versus Car, K-A-R-R.
Car.
Car.
Kit and Car?
K-I-T-T and
that's retarded.
K-A-R.
Kit is a car.
It stood for something, like...
Yeah, Kit stands for something, too.
Yeah, Kit, oh. K-I-T-T actually stands, like, I don't know, Knight Industries Talking Travel Buddy.
Something like that.
And then Car was,
Travel Buddy. Travel Buddy!
That's one word.
Nice, I like that.
Because... The thing is, like, we talk about automated cars, right? There's two ways to get people to adopt new technology, right? One is just a convenience, like
Amen.
Moms. There's three ways. One is convenience, just general convenience. Another one is to stop crime.
And they'll convince you if you're in danger.
Right. And then the third one is your kids.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I mean?
Right.
If the kids are in danger.
If the kids are in danger.
Yeah. Anything's about fear. Fear-induced technological rape.
Because I agree with you, Flip. Like, I don't like Amber Alerts because I'm thinking, how do I know this guy has a kid in his car? Like, how do I know someone just doesn't...
interesting.
They just don't like this guy. And it's like, you know what? Put an Amber Alert. Everyone will hate him.
Yeah.
We'll get him to pull over.
Oh, that's true. I didn't even think about that.
Because even an Amber Alert is like, if a cop pulled you over and did something to you, and he was an evil cop.
Mm-hmm.
And you were able to get away, he could just call and put out an Amber Alert. Now, he's not controlling your car, but every other car is just sort of like, there's that guy with the little girl, you know, just...
Yeah, but even still, that guy has a... and I'm assuming the guy's innocent, the cop's just a dick.
Right,
but
guy
it's in his own hands to get away or whatever. It's like... Having somebody control my... It's like the idea
cameras everywhere, you know?
Oh, dude, and I turn this shit over. The problem is now they put a camera on both sides, but I don't like having a camera constantly being pointed at me, even
Allie's
though
talking about her cell phone.
Yeah, I have it. Oh, I'm sorry. It's like turned over nothing.
Not a voyeuristic webcam.
And they have your fingerprint, because you're tapping a screen over and over again.
They apparently want to put some sort of chip in you that's like a microchip, or you wouldn't have to use money anymore.
No, unless you got the shield on it, like on the...
Maybe, yeah. I had to give my fingerprint at Universal Studios to get in.
What?
Yeah. And they were like, well, it's not a fingerprint. It's a digital scan. I'm like...
Still, they're scanning you.
Putting my finger on it.
It's like the eye scan from a Minority Report. That's what they do in Minority Report. They actually do your eye retina scan.
They won't let you in the park unless you give them the thing. I guess because of terrorism. Who knows, but...
Yeah, oh, wait, they did this for park, not for the studio?
For the park, yeah. For the theme park.
I used to work at the theme park.
The theme park. Everyone has to give their fingerprint on the way in. Or finger scan, whatever they call it.
You know, Al-Qaeda has been targeting Rocky and Bullwinkle lately.
Oh, dude. They're after...
Hey, Rocky!
The Transformers ride, essentially.
Autobots, we will destroy Al-Qaeda.
Hey, is your earring a zipper thing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That is incredible.
Thanks!
Allie's earrings are
zippers. That's phenomenal.
Frickin' zippers. Flip, that's what he gets to shut up. He just pulls one ear to the other.
Flipper pulls a zipper.
Flipper. Oh, Flipper zipper.
The Flipper zipper, which is also what I call her.
Yes, that's right. The Flipper zipper. Be careful of the teeth.
Are you dating anybody now?
No. It's not. This is really not podcast kind of conversation.
This is, he's...
Nah,
he's
I'm just playing.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know.
I'm just playing with you. No, I'm trying to... Just trying to figure it all out. Yeah.
When'd you move to LA from Brooklyn?
Oh, I moved to LA from Boston.
Well, Boston. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said New York.
I am from New York, but I lived in Boston for a few years.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
And 12 years ago.
Oh, sweet. Okay. Yeah. Oh,
okay. So we moved around LA the same time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In 2001?
2000. So I guess 13 years. Yeah.
Okay.
I lose track of the time. But yeah.
Mazel, you're a man now.
Yes.
13 years old. 13 years Angelina old.
Yes.
Keep talking as loud as you can in the most annoying Jewish voice as possible.
I was hoping you would pick up on how annoying it was.
It makes me homesick, you know? I'm from Brooklyn, so yeah.
You're getting me verklempt.
She just, we went to New York in November last year, her first time going there.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? I was so magically in love. Oh, yeah, you gotta go.
What a movie set. What a constant movie set. Like, everywhere I am, I'm like,
the whole thing.
It's just amazing. It feels like Europe, even though I've never been to Europe.
Yeah, it is.
It feels like a place I've never been to. Reminds me of experiences that have never happened to me.
Well, in North America, I would say New York is probably tied with Boston, which being the second city in North America that kind of looks like a European city.
Yeah, I think makes sense.
I think Montreal is tops. If you go to Montreal, it's the closest you can go to
France, right?
Yeah, to being in a European city. Yeah. And I think Boston is probably New York is second because Boston is so small.
Boston's a little smaller, yeah. I went to Boston for my first time, funny enough, just in September, just this past year. And I was taken aback by how small it was. I thought it was going to be like a New York where you'd seen just nothing but skyline.
Well, you can actually, I think Paul Revere's thing, you can actually just walk it, what he did, you know what I mean?
Actually,
on a horse.
I went to
what kind of horse did he have? It's like galloped and got there in like 3 minutes flat.
Yeah, he really didn't gallop. They overblow that story. The horse was kind of just trotting.
He just dragged the horse along.
There wasn't really a horse. It was a fat woman.
Right.
Exactly. Just rode a fat woman. And the British are coming. So I don't know.
He stopped every place and he ate. He had something to drink and just let him know that the British is coming. I got to go up the street, but just British coming tomorrow.
Can you refill his coffee, please? Thanks.
He tweeted it, actually.
right.
British,
yo,
just a letter
Red
R.
Redcoats is coming, yo.
Coming, hashtag, LOL.
Watch your ass. Get your musket.
Get your musket? I just like how he's also gangsting out. Get your musket, motherfucker.
He's from Southie.
Musket on. Yeah. Southie.
We actually, just on my Canada, we ran into each other too in Toronto.
That's right. We hung out in Toronto. That was awesome.
This was the most.
Toronto's my second favorite city in the world.
Dude, where's that picture? I sent you a copy of the picture of you, me, and Nikki Payne when we went to the tower.
Oh yeah, that's right. We went to the. Jesus, it's all coming back to me now.
Yeah,
we went to the tallest building in Toronto together.
It's like the Toronto. It's like the equivalent of the Space Needle.
Yeah,
did you guys hold hands?
Like no, we took the elevator.
We took the elevator, then walked.
Then we walked up some stairs, and then there was that that part of the floor that was all glass. I was headlining Yuck Yucks in Toronto, this 2006 maybe.
That sounds about right.
And every show they had like four or five other comics doing like 10-minute spots. And I look at the list for the next night and I see Dwayne Perkins. I'm like, there can't be more than one Dwayne Perkins. So I think I called you and I said,
not one in comedy. Oh. Yeah, there's a guy who we vie for user IDs across the World Wide Web. I've beat him to the punch on most things, though.
That's what's great about being Flip Schultz. There is not another one in the world.
I was doing a college near Toronto.
Okay.
And I went up there just to hang out at Yuck Yucks and met Mark. And I think,
I'm not sure if I called you before, excuse me, or if you just showed up.
I can't remember, but I know that was a great week. We hung out. I went to a Toronto Blue Jays game. It was just amazing.
Yeah.
I stayed in Toronto, in Chinatown. Whenever I go to Toronto, I like to stay in Chinatown.
Didn't you crash at my hotel room, too?
Maybe. I may have one night.
Like for one night,
because I had a room, and who knows. Yeah. I mean, I think maybe I stayed an extra day or something.
Okay.
But that was amazing. That's
what's great. What I love about after you do comedy for a certain amount of years and you meet X amount of people, you're going to start running into them more on the road, just randomly like this and whatever.
Yeah.
And it makes the world a little smaller. You know?
Well, very much so. It's funny.
And what's great about it is that it has to be a unique situation because you get to a point where everyone's headlining, all your friends.
Yeah.
So you would never be on a show with your friend unless – sometimes, like, they're at the other club. Like,
right.
a city has two clubs, and they're at the other club. And,
right.
you know, you don't care. So you hang out after your shows.
Yeah.
Or if someone's doing a college nearby, it's always a pleasant surprise. Like, do you do the Comedy Magic ever?
Not really.
Samosa?
Yeah. Because they have their July shows. You should check them out.
Oh, that's the anniversary show.
Where they do every 20 comics do 5 minutes a piece.
Yeah.
And it's just all these guys you haven't seen. It's like a party every night. Every night there's a cake. And you do 5 minutes every night. And then it's like, sometimes it's like some real heavy hitters. Like, even though it's weird because I think people consider me like established, but I consider like Ralph Harris and Bobby Collins, those guys. It's guys like that. Like, I once saw, it was like Bobby Collins, Darren Carter, and Ralph Harris. each do 5 minutes.
Wow.
It was a mind fuck. Easily the funniest 15 minutes I've ever witnessed personally comedy. And I've seen everybody, you know, like everyone who's great, Dane, Patrice. It was this 15 minutes of like, it was outrageous.
And
like,
it was back to back to back?
Back to back to back.
So and, Bobby, Darren, and Ralph?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it was just, I mean, everyone was doing great, but for some reason it just, something clicked.
Just clicked for that.
And those three destroyed. It was like crazy. Yeah.
Just rode the wave of the love for each 5 minutes.
Well, that's just because those are three really different comics.
And the fact that
each one could be that different and follow the other one. Like the fact that Ralph followed Darren.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
like because Darren, you know, Darren is just so high energy and everything, and Ralph is more kind of laid back.
Right, but Ralph can get there, you know. No, it was. Yeah, maybe I got their order wrong, but it was definitely those three.
Oh, that's cool.
And when Darren Carter came out, and it was weird, is you know when you're riffing because I think Darren Carter, I think he riffed something, and like I've seen him like 100 times since then. He's never done it the same. He can't remember what he did exactly. This one joke. It was like, oh, he came out and did a joke about getting carjacked on the highway. Wow, like
405.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was so hilarious. And he's like, I never. It still works, but it
never hits.
That's
why I record every one of my shows.
You got to.
Like
you
I
got
have
to.
A little lapel every night. Yeah. I wear it because, like last night, matter of fact, I did two bits that I'd never tried before, and they worked. So
they were really
here,
funny. Yeah.
I listened back. I'm like, okay, that's how I said it. Okay, let's try it tonight and tweak it up a little.
I've been burned by that a few times. So now I won't do an. Obviously, if you don't record, you might riff something, and you don't capture that
exactly.
But I won't do a new joke unless I'm recording.
Yeah.
So like, I just won't do it because nothing sound it won't sound the same way ever. Like the first time you say it is that like it's conversational. Then every time after that, it's memory.
Right.
So scripted.
But if you could remember it in a conversational cadence,
right, exactly,
it becomes like a very. I think that when I figured that out, I think that was my turning point when I realized like because you know does it unless you're doing some kind of character,
right.
To me, the key to great comedy is just completely being yourself
and
expressing
100%,
your views and everything the way you would conversationally.
Yeah.
And the turning point for me was when I went, oh, okay, so all I have to do, even though I'm saying this for the millionth time, is remember how to say it like it's the first time.
Yeah.
Right.
And being natural about
it. Right.
And keeping myself in the moment every show.
Right.
And that's when I think like I hit my stride and figured out completely who I was on stage.
And some guys do that by like... they'll say it different each time. That's how they, and I'm okay with that. Or like Patrice used to sort of like, he would give it a different inflection. He would pause at different places, anything to make it seem new. But I have a good muscle memory. So I can do it like 100 times the same way and it sounds
still
conversational
each
time. Each time. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Same here. I don't think once I have it, I can't really fuck with it unless it gets to the point where I've been doing it so much that it becomes stale and I'm just saying words even though I'm saying it with inflection I always have.
Right, then you have to change it yourself.
Gone,
yeah.
The fire. So, I change a word or I do a little movement different or I just explore a beat that I never really kind of saw before.
I do the exact same thing. Or I stopped doing it for a while and then bring it back. You know, I have the same issue with acting, with auditions. And, like, I get an audition. If it's, like... in 3 days, okay, fine, right? I can go over it like 100 times. But if it's the next day, it's almost better if I just read it once and don't, and like maybe just run it one time. Because you want to be completely raw, like I don't know where this is going, or like I know it
perfectly.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything in between, you won't even come close to booking the role.
I'm the same way.
And I get stuck in between a lot only because of time. But like if you just give me the role and I'm really riffing, or really sort of in it, I'm fine. Or if I just know it, I'm fine. Because that's what stand-up is, right?
Know it. It's like you said, it's that muscle memory, and it's the confidence and all that. But I like just kind of being in a moment too, especially with stand-up. Because like I've seen guys, and I don't want to say names, but I remember years ago I was working with this headliner.
Name names, not just playing.
No, because he actually owns a club, so I don't want to.
Well, I could completely figure it out, but go ahead. Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No. I mean, I know people own clubs, but
I'll tell you afterward. Yeah. But I remember working with him years ago back in Florida, and I was hosting a show, and every night he would literally do the exact same 45 minutes. And I'm not saying, like, I don't, you know, make, like, same jokes. I do right, that, too. Right, right. But I'll break my show up with some crowd work or, you
right,
know,
right.
I'll riff on something or whatever. Or he
definitely
was
changes the order. You know, you change the order.
I change the order right. sometimes.
Did he have what I kind of don't like, but I put up with it. Did he have, like, fake riffs?
Yes.
You know, a lot of comics have fake riffs where, yeah. it, like, they will say something wrong or do something. It's okay, but, like, some guys have a lot of it where
yeah.
it seems to the audience that it's a new thing, but it's what they do all the time.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Like,
yes.
David Lee Roth was like that. He'd be on interviews acting crazy, and then I would see him on another interview, and I'm like, that's verbatim. It's exactly the same thing.
This guy, he would, like, talk to some of the audience, and he'd start giggling at the question.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah,
every
yeah.
every show, he'd do the same giggle at the right. same time with the same idea.
That's
and
hard
like,
to watch.
And, yeah, the yeah. first night, I'm like, oh, this guy's funny. Second night, I'm like, oh, that's funny. Third night, I'm like, wait, this is his act.
And, yeah, yeah.
And Grant, at the time, I was a you know, solid host, okay feature at the time. And even I'm like, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do
right,
the exact
right.
same show every I'd go out of my mind.
Well, I mean, as long as the audience doesn't mind and he's okay with it, but
I guess
there's something missing. It's like
you're stunting your growth.
Yeah, it's like having a big secret or something that no one else knows. It still affects you some sort of way.
Yeah, because yeah. I don't know. I would start to feel like part of me right. artistically and creatively just dying every night doing yeah. the exact same fucking
no, completely.
Show.
Like, I know a guy who is a one-liner comic who would at least do different jokes, but he would do each joke the same way. And then, like, if you saw him 6 months later, he might have one or two new jokes in there. So that was his. But the jokes he did, exactly. Like, he would even drink water at the exact same moment.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah.
You know, like, cause sometimes the water would be like his way of holding for the punch, holding for the laugh.
Yeah,
I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, say the punch, take a sip of water at the exact same point in each show.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's almost.
I mean, that's impressive.
That's impressive.
You know,
yeah.
That you can command that laugh and know that I'll have time to drink water right here.
There's like
right.
a Ron White thing where I've seen him, you know, take the perfect sip of scotch right at the perfect moment, and he'd
right,
like,
right.
and I've seen
well,
him do the,
yeah,
the
see,
same,
that's the
kind of thing over and over again.
Sometimes I think those little gestures or pauses
right.
or, you know, if whether it be a glass of scotch or a bottle of water, or have you seen these guys who take the microphone and they hit their leg.
Oh,
as
yeah.
a,
Chris Rock does that. He's
Chris
the only
Chappelle.
One that I could really accept. And
Chappelle
does it. Yeah.
But I've seen a lot of other guys starting to do
but
it.
But that's just
too.
To reset the audience and make them listen. It's like,
yeah. Hello.
It's like, listen. Da-da. Listen. Listen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, it's almost like.
It's
well,
like
I was gonna
tapping
say,
someone when you talk to them.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Like tapping somebody when they're talking.
Like.
Hey.
Flip.
Oh,
flip.
Right, 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 right.
Flip. So listen. So
he's
listen. So listen.
His leg.
Oh,
right.
see, I always saw that as them doing like. It's almost like. What's his name? Fat Jackie Leonard. Who's an old comic,
uh-huh.
he would like hit his belly as like a signal to the audience, the joke's over, laugh.
Oh,
he'd
yeah.
be like,
oh,
you know, drink
right,
your water
right.
and don't even forget to swallow. and the
yeah,
and
Carlin used to
Carlin,
bow.
Carlin would bow at the end of his, like, to,
right,
to
right.
say this is the end of the joke, this is where the punchline
is.
Was
a big, if it was a big long one, he didn't do it for every single solitary one. But.
Right, no, that Carlin would end his chunks with the bow. But
yeah,
fatty,
his big pieces, yeah. Yeah,
yeah but Jackie Leonard would like slap his belly as a sign for a... And actually, it was Steve Martin in his. I'm not sure if you read Born Standing Up.
Yeah, I did.
He talked specifically about Jackie Leonard, how on The Tonight Show, he would pat his stomach and the audience would laugh. And sometimes he didn't say anything funny. The audience was, it was almost Pavlovian. They were just cued to laugh
right.
and punch in the belly.
Yeah.
And so I think, like Chappelle and Rock now, when they do the microphone, it almost becomes a signal. This is the punchline. You got to laugh now.
Yeah, yeah.
And people are doing it. It's like a guitar comic, too. No
yeah.
offense, honey.
Oh, it's okay.
Who
I what? Know.
There are guitar comics who might not have a funny song, but they'll do that last little da-da-da-da-dun at the end,
yep.
and it's like, my hands are clapping. I
right.
don't know why.
I had to learn right. that because I had a lot of songs. Like, I have different time frames for each song, but you kind of get used to that they would elapse the same amount of time. So all of a sudden, I started doing these shorter songs, and I would be done, and I didn't give them that commanding, and it would be like, oh. Is this? Are we laughing?
Right,
are we clapping?
Right, right.
So I finally learned, and it's funny, they say it in the movie Amadeus. Did you ever watch Amadeus?
I have.
Oh, it's one of my favorite movies.
Yes, he was a very good guitar comic.
Yes, it was incredible. I learned everything from Mozart. No, but they actually, Salieri gives him a piece of advice. He said, you didn't even give him a good bang to let them know that you were done. Like, you
right,
got to
right.
give them some sort of a movement. So I learned to do the bop, 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 the little super strum, and then they get it.
Yeah.
yeah.
By the way, there were two songs named Rock Me Amadeus. There's one by Falco.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Amadeus, Amadeus. Amadeus.
Amadeus, Amadeus.
But there was another one that was like, they would just go, that just went, ooh, rock me, Amadeus.
Oh, yeah.
Amadeus, Amadeus.
That's the same song.
Out about, one is in the other. Like, you probably heard a mix of two, but they were two separate songs.
What?
Yeah, yeah, I think I know what he's talking about.
No,
I think I've heard
no, no, no. Give me my phone. I have it on my
I'm
phone.
Looking,
no, wait, I have wait. The song on my phone. Give it
no,
to
but
me.
I'm
it
looking up to see no. if there's two Rock Me Amadeuses.
Right, but maybe that part isn't that from that song. Flip wait, is going to look on his phone.
I'm going to my mm-hmm. phone.
I remember
quick.
when you weren't a Mac guy.
I'm still not a Mac guy.
I'm going to
You have an iPad, though.
I have an
iPad iPhone.
And an iPhone, but I still have a PC at
home. I have a Mac and an iPad, but a Droid phone. That's how I do it.
Look at you.
That's how I do it. But, you know, I was thinking about that thing about letting the audience know that the joke is over. I think I might start saying, joke over.
nice.
Perkins out. Okay, wait a minute.
Laugh now.
Get right, your ass outside.
It is saying that it's just one.
Are you serious? Okay. I thought there were two.
No. But now watch. Okay. I have it right here.
It's probably a remix of that one. It's like,
Maybe some hip-hop thing I heard.
Maybe.
Oh, there is a newer one. I think there's a newer song.
No, but from when it was out.
No, here's the song.
Remix. Are you going to play it through the thingy?
How many Rock Me Amadeus songs are there?
That's how I Google search.
Jesus.
You can really rap.
So that's the song you're talking about, right?
Yeah. I think there were two. Maybe I could be wrong about that.
There's a new one, apparently.
Well, there's plenty of remixes. Probably like a dubstep remix the whole night.
Oh, that would be cool. A dubstep rock
band. Rock me all my day.
Are you into dubstep at all?
Sorry.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I've heard it in so.
I think there's a possibility I've heard quite a tune or two.
We should do the Harlem Shake right now.
See, I just don't know what that is. I still don't know.
Is that the?
Well, it was a dance. It was a dance, an actual dance in the 2000s, called the Harlem Shake.
Okay.
And it was really hard to do, actually, right? But some guys would kill it, and so now it's like a new dance craze, but. It's not the same dance. It's a song called the Harlem Shake.
Okay.
And now it's a thing. It's a video thing where the beginning of the song, there's one person doing one thing. And then when the beat comes in, you do a video cut. And it's a bunch of people doing random things.
Oh,
The Miami Heat, they have one now.
I saw one for a race car driver. Yeah, there's car driver one. Like, everybody's like, let's do the Harlem Shake.
I have not heard of this at all.
Yeah, it's a song. Some guy in some place in Europe he made a song and called it the Harlem Shake. So, see if I go to...
I like your super neat laptop. I mean, excuse me, the iPad with your little
thank you.
Dilly.
I had one of those. I didn't like it.
No?
I didn't like it. No. I didn't because the keyboard's too small.
Yeah, if you have big fingers, you know what I mean?
Allie, do I have big fingers?
You have big toes.
Uh-oh.
And you know what that means.
Huge
means you
socks.
Don't like
this keyboard.
Yeah, the biggest feet. The biggest...
Huge socks.
I don't think I'm online
right
now.
Kind of wear slippers bigger than your head.
So, you guys, you haven't seen the Harlem Shake videos?
I haven't seen any of them.
It's like almost, it's not almost, but it's like approaching Gangnam Style kind of level.
Oh, shit.
See, I thought that's something where Michael J. Fox goes into Harlem.
Ha!
Really? The Harlem Shake?
I like it.
Michael Jackson.
Michael J. Fox.
Oh, is that what you
said?
Did
I say Michael Jackson?
Did you say Michael J. Fox?
I said Michael J.
Oh,
Fox.
Oh, then I just heard Michael
Jackson. Michael
Jackson. Wow.
Wow. I love Michael Jackson on Family Ties. He was great. Right.
Well, you know, I heard a joke similar. Who was it? Somebody we both know, actually. He went a long way. But he was talking about... he was talking about Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was like... You know, what's crazy about that movie, people don't talk about it, is that he hooked up with his mom. Like, he kissed his mom. And, like, you know, that's the part I couldn't, that bothered me, still bothers me. And he goes, apparently it still bothers Michael J. Fox because he's still shaking.
Oh, shit.
Whoever it was, it was one of these jokes that when you got there, you were like, you know what? It took too long. but I'm going to laugh because
it's
you had to get there.
I've invested a lot of time in
this. Yeah, you had to get there eventually.
Do you watch Family Guy?
Oh, I do. Yeah, yeah.
Do you ever see that one I don't remember the setup to this cutaway, but they were showing the scene from Back to the Future where Doc Brown is on the tower trying to fix a wire, and Marty's down in the ground. He's like, "I have to tell you about the future."
Right, right.
And in this one, it's Peter is up on the – no, I'm sorry. Doc Brown is still up in the cloud tower, and he's yelling at him, "I got to tell you about the future."
Right.
And then Peter walks up and goes, "No, I have to tell you about your future."
Wow.
Yeah.
Horrible.
That's great.
There was another one where they had a cutaway basically at a dinner party, and he says, that's worse than having a dinner party, being served wine at a dinner party by Michael J. Fox. And then he goes right to a picture of just Peter, and he goes, "I know you guys were going to think that we're going to do some terrible Parkinson's joke in regards to da-da-da." He's talking. He's like apologizing for the implication of the joke, and then he goes, "Oh, wait, we're going to do it? Oh, okay, we're going to do it." And then they stole a whole scene of him walking.
But there was a whole, like, before he goes, we were gonna do the joke about Parkinson's, but we decided to take the high road because Michael J. Fox was actually a very nice guy, and he apologized for spilling the wine. He actually sent me a check, and then he calls a check, and it's just scribble marks all over the check.
He's like, "But I don't think anybody will take it." And
But it's basically like he did 20 seconds of just going, "We're not going to go there.
Right,
we're better
right.
than that. You know, we really like him." Like, "Oh, we are going to do it? Okay, we're going to do
funny.
It.
That's funny.
And then they show him come up with the wine, like, and he pours the wine all over him. Yeah. Oh, it's horrible.
That's awesome.
It's horrible. It's awesome.
But you have to see, I always tell people to see the, South Park episode where they make fun of Family Guy.
Yeah.
Oh, I've
that was
seen
a good
that
one.
One,
too. Yeah, that's, with the manatee.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, that's classic.
Oh, I haven't
see,
seen
I was going to ask, because, Dwayne, you're... Your comedy, and I don't want
so
I hate labeling anybody, well, funny, given,
hilarious.
But I hate labeling anybody this kind or that kind. Your comedy is very, it's very smart, very well written, but you don't really go to dark places in your act, do you?
You know, it's weird. I've been thinking about that lately, about should I be, because dark and dirty are different.
Right.
You know, like, should I be dirty, should I be dark? You know, I don't know. I don't purposely not go to dark places, you know? But I feel like I write features and like when I write a feature, you know, I always want a happy ending because life is an unhappy ending. So
it can be.
It can be, right? So if I'm going to watch something, I want a happy ending.
Yeah.
So you know, cuz it's sort of like we're living real life. So I guess with my comedy, I want people to think and I do want to have it. My jokes be, I guess, optimistic, or at least like it's like this. Life is like this, but it's okay, you know. So I guess I don't get too dark. And thirdly, I look at Seinfeld, and I just think like, I think people don't get Seinfeld. I think people think that like he's talking about these mundane things. I think he's saying life is mundane. I think he's saying like, if you eat 3 squares a day, what do you really have to complain about? So I'm going to talk about socks because I, in essence, don't have anything real to complain about right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, you know, I don't know. I think I may have things to complain about. But ultimately, I think, like, when I go to a show and people, like, a comic will get on stage and say, like, "Who's having a bad day?" And people go, "Woo!" And I'm like, "What are you talking about? Like, bad days don't end up in comedy clubs."
Yeah.
Like,
why are like, you pushing the bad information? Yeah, why are like, you harping?
Bad days end up, like, at a hospital.
Right.
Or in the morgue. Like, so if you're at a comedy club, you may have had a tough day. You know what I'm saying?
But not a bad day.
But not a bad day,
yeah,
right.
That's
true. So, I don't know. I struggle with that. Like, I don't think in dark terms, but I do think I could be a little dirtier because I think, like...
Well, no, I wasn't saying you should. I was just saying, I think it's actually very commendable.
Well, thank you. Yeah. But I think about you and me, Flip, right? And like how, whether we're clean or dirty, we have a friendly disposition.
Yeah.
Very much so.
On stage, right? And I think comedy ebbs and flows, and you get to, I think we're at a point... I don't know where we're at now, but for a while it was like, if a guy's on stage and he's being friendly, he must not be provocative. He must not be edgy. Which is like, no, maybe he's talking about edgy things in a non-edgy
friendly way. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's part of the joke. That's part of the skill to take something that's taboo and sort of present it. Like, I have a joke now, like, literally, where at the end of the joke, it's hard to do it without doing the joke, but at the end of the joke, I suggest...
Do you want to just do the bit?
Well, it's kind of tough. I could do it.
If it makes it easier, I was just going to ask him.
I won't do the bit, just so that way you'll see how crazy it is. Because without doing the bit, it's jarring.
Okay. Are you going to?
I do the bit. I'll say it without. This is the first time ever I'm doing it out of order. At the end of the bit, I suggest each man in the world should have a voucher to smack a woman once a year.
Right? Amen to that.
Right. Now, I know, like, so if you just say that, it's like, what is he talking about? But when I do the bit, I get to that point, and the women and the men are like, yes, he's right. Ah. He's freaking right. He's absolutely right. And then it's like a 10-minute bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'll do it here at the festival because it takes about, you have to be on stage 20 minutes to build that goodwill.
Yeah.
To then say,
before smack a bitch talk.
Here's a concept.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Right.
I would love to. You should do that as an opener. Just
maybe.
Start back.
I should. I should try it.
Thanks for being here. I think women should get punched.
Right. Follow that with your rape bit, and Slow will love you.
But no one. But I do that bit, and it's been killing.
Oh yeah, I bet.
But because I don't have a leather jacket on, I'm not smoking a cigarette. I'm like, and another thing, so people kind of don't. They don't even know what just happened. They don't even know that I just sort of got them on board with a joke abuse. About hitting women. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think sometimes I'm being too skillful. Like,
I think that if you can present an idea that is so. Like, just saying it like that, it's, not that, I could imagine how funny it is, but to a layman person going, oh, that's a little extreme, you're going to say smack it. But then that you're able to take the audience on that ride and then end up there and they're all like, we totally agree. That's a very, very skillful thing to be able to do.
Right, but I think what happens is because of a friendly disposition throughout an act.
Oh, yeah.
A comedian sometimes, won't get the credit for being a little bit edgy. For bringing the truth to the table.
That's true.
Like some guys, you see some guys, I won't name them, but they're talking about pretty calm things, but with a tone that's really over the top. Like, don't even act like, don't even act like you don't go to the store and take some grapes. You know you do that. You know you do that shit. This guy's edgy. This guy's right. We do eat grapes sometimes in the supermarket. He's absolutely right.
He's really loud. He's yelling at us. Yeah. He must be edgy.
And I'm not afraid to say it. He's not afraid to say it.
Seriously. I drink milk out of the carton every day. What? Want a fight? Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yo, so, sometimes I go in the HOV lane when it's just me. Bitch!
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of that happening.
Yeah. Are you talking about a specific comic, by the way?
Maybe. No. Well, but the thing is that... There's that.
Doing things.
AA. Right. No, not AA. Well, I don't know AA, but CA. Well, anyway. CO. So here's the thing.
Yeah, just now spit out a bunch of random letters so that nobody will know who we're talking about.
Well, the thing is, but alt comics do it too. And I like alt comics. I went to the Bridgetown Festival last year. That was amazing.
What, Connecticut?
Bridgetown. No, Portland.
Portland. Oh, okay.
Oregon, yeah. So my thing is, you also get guys who, do dick jokes. But they have a plaid shirt on and they're kind of talking slow and it's ironic. And it's like, nope, it's just a dick joke.
Yeah.
It's a good dick joke.
But it's just a dick joke.
But you're not getting credit for being smart. It's a dick joke.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. It's your right to do a dick joke. I laugh at dick jokes. I like dick jokes.
Yeah.
But don't be like, this dick joke that I'm about to do is in fact not a dick joke because I have worn this plaid shirt, so
yes.
It's actually a metaphor for the economy.
Nice.
Right. That's what that dick joke was, man.
Right,
if you're too stupid to realize the underlying meaning of that dick joke, then that's your fault. I'm not going to dumb down my dick joke for the masses.
And I won't have you calling my dick joke a dick joke.
Yeah, it's not a dick joke. It's not. It's a reflection on society,
right.
And it's an homage to Kafka. Right.
Yeah,
form of a dick joke.
In the form of a dick joke, exactly. So,
I was actually trying to plug McDonald's. Sorry, you didn't pick up on that. It's funny. When you guys were talking about when you're just unassuming enough to get away. With humor,
right.
Because
and
you're
you do that.
Thanks. It's just one of these things, and for the listeners, I do very, very dirty songs, but I'd like to think I have a sweet demeanor about it as I'm putting it across. So the dirty, dirty things, you could be... It's funny. I say some things to crowds of gray-haired much older people, I think they're not even going to groove with this. And I'll be a little nervous, and they'll come up to me afterwards and say, oh, my God, you were so sweet and cute and right.
Right.
Oh, grandma, oh, my God. But I wasn't sure if it'd be too dirty for you. Are you kidding me? I've been having sex 50 years longer than you. I know exactly. 69's horrible. no,
I don't like 69 either. I'm glad you have that song.
Oh,
I want you to spread the word. What is that?
Yeah. It's annoying.
I haven't done it in years.
I don't want you to be eye to eye with my brown eye. We're good with that. Yeah, we're all okay.
Eye to brown eye?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, it's good to be clean and
are we talking about 69 or comedy now?
Well, both, actually. Well, it's good to be considered like a comic that is. When I do cruise ships, I realize, like, man, I'm edgier than I think, because sometimes it's like,
really?
I'm shocked at how much can't fly in like a super vanilla no fly zone.
Yeah.
It's like,
really?
A lot of my material becomes like, because it's sort of like, you know, like if I have a joke about a homeless person, you know, usually it's great. But when people are really hypersensitive, they're like, oh, don't make fun of the homeless. And you're like, oh, maybe they're right. You know, maybe I'm being insensitive. Maybe I'm being mean.
No, you know, you're talking about the joke you did last night. That is such a great joke.
Oh,
and it's
man.
That is hypersensitive. That's what's like, I haven't done cruises yet, but from what I understand, it's like you have got to walk the tightest tightrope.
Yeah. Unless you have like a novelty to your act, like if you're juggling or do magic, then you can sort of play a little, you can skirt the line a little bit more, because you can always come back to the, you know, like
if it didn't work.
Yeah, like you're juggling, you do a dick joke, it doesn't work. And I'm friends with the jugglers. I'm not making fun of them.
Do they ever,
I think it's awesome.
Dicks?
A juggling know, dick right? joke.
But you can sort of like, you can do an edgy kind of, and also you always have a ball joke, right? Because you're juggling balls.
Oh, yeah, God.
That's true.
So you get to do a few ball jokes. And whatever, if it doesn't work, you go back to the juggling.
Yeah.
Like, this is what I really do. And it's impressive. You know, I like it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so as a comic, you're sort of like, when you're up there, you're like, I should have learned how to do something other than this.
I should have learned to juggle.
Right, yeah. Right. Anything, you know?
No, I like being up there with just a mic.
I do too.
I don't know. I like just me in the audience.
But something about cruise ships, I don't know if it's just they're eating like 8 times a day.
Oh,
there's
man.
Something going on where it's just a bit of a challenge more than any other, for me at least.
By the way, when's the next cruise you're doing?
I don't know. I don't have anything booked, but okay. I did one last November. Here's why I got back into cruise ships, why you should consider getting into them as well, both of you. Because they have.
Oh, they're going to love me on a cruise ship. Well,
no, I don't think you can do cruise ships.
No, but some cruise ships have comedy clubs now.
Oh, that's right. But you got to keep it like.
Maybe. But they tell the smaller rooms, and they tell the
audience,
clientele,
yeah.
Hey, that's a little bit adult. And so you don't have to kind of deal with it as much, because it's not in a big theater. They can take it or leave it.
Yeah.
And you do like, but it's a lot of work. You do like 2 shows a night, just 20 minutes too. You don't have to do, and it can be the same show.
Oh, that's
nice. The thing with a cruise ship, you're like this utility piece. Like, they can use you anytime. Like, they're like, you know what? We want you to do a welcome aboard show, and then do this show, then do that show. Welcome aboard, do 10 to 15, then do 40 here, and then do another 20 there, but don't do any of the same jokes.
And
it's fine, but it's sort of like when you start splitting up your jokes, and you're like, well, I did that joke. I didn't do that. Like, some jokes you didn't even do yet, but because another joke leads into them, you can't even do them. You're like, if I do that joke, then I won't be able to do that joke. And then like, one joke might be sort of really clean. The next joke may not be so clean. And you do the clean part, but then you can't do the next part. So there's a lot of, I'm sure if I did them like over and over again, I would really
know your rhythm.
I would get a rhythm, but it's hard to get a rhythm. So anyway, that's why I got back in, was to do the comedy clubs. But when I booked last November, I didn't even get a comedy club. I got a regular cruise, and I was like, this is not what I asked for. But you know, you got to sort of.
Yeah, I signed with a cruise agent years ago, and I was with her for like a year and a half, and she didn't get me one cruise.
Are you serious? In Florida? Yeah.
No, she was out of New York.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and then I signed with a different, like another cruise ship company out of Florida, and I have yet to hear from them.
That's like, surprising, because your act, you know, you can do voices.
Yeah.
You're friendly.
I think I'd be great for those fucking guns.
And he can cater to, you know, clean, Jewy.
Right. Well, you're a pro, so yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you got it all.
I was on a cruise ship with Marty Allen. I don't know if you know that name.
I know the name, yeah.
He's
older guy.
Legend, right, yeah. Right. Like, women were coming up to him. Women, like, in their 60s were like, if my mother was here, she would lose it. Like, if my mother was here.
Wow.
The 60-year-old.
But I guarantee you, I wish I had, I didn't bring my, it's in my other book bag. He killed.
Oh, I bet.
Like, watching him as a comic, it was a bunch of one-liners. But, like, I mean,
Smartest precision.
Nice. And he's 90.
90?
He's 90. Yeah, he's over 90.
And he's still doing it?
He's still doing it. His wife
that's
is
so
like,
brilliant.
He's married to a younger woman. She's 60. You know what I mean? That kind of thing.
Nice.
And she's a singer, and she's a great singer. And he comes out and just destroys. Like, here's how bad he destroys. And I talked to him about it, but he didn't explain it. He just smiled. It was so weird. It was like talking to Yoda or something, right? Because he killed so hard. If you know, as we're all comics. We spend the better part of our careers trying not to step on laughter, right?
Yeah.
We all step on laughter. And after we watch a show or listen to our show, we're like, oh, shit, I keep stepping on my laps. And what that means is you say something that's funny, you wait until they stop laughing.
Fully, yeah.
Until you do your next joke.
Yeah. Right.
If you don't wait, you're stepping on a laugh.
Amen. Right.
Because you never know
how long it'll go
for. How long it'll go for.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And you watch a guy like Dave Chappelle, and he holds, and you're like, oh, brilliant. And he Dave Chappelle even holds before the punch. He gets he gets two laughs.
Get it?
All
yeah.
The smart people who can guess, they laugh.
What this
he lets that in. He lets that fully play itself out. Then he says it, gets another laugh from them and all the other people who didn't know what he was saying, who didn't anticipate what he was going to say. Yeah. Lets that fully run itself out. Then on to the next joke. Marty Allen laugh like he was starting his new joke at the height of the laugh. You know, so you know. Take my wife, please. Ah, I went to the doctor the other day. Ah, like he just kept hitting them with joke.
Wow.
At the top of the laugh, and I was like, I was like,
how is this even possible?
This is amazing. What's happening? And just it was almost like he was gonna make he was gonna give them asthma attacks. Like he was gonna literally kill people. Like they were gonna.
He like, figured out like sex the right rhythm of how to hit them. Ah.
Yeah, it was just he was just taking it higher and higher. It was like a DJ
tantric.
Like a, you ever go to like see a DJ mix and he's playing like a lot of, bless you, he's playing a lot of hit records.
Yeah.
And it's like a medley of hits. Like if you were going to go see Prince.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, he was
but like one song just went to the other
right,
without any break.
Right. And you would just be like, "Oh my god, this is my favorite song." No, this is my favorite song. No, this is my favorite. He was doing that with jokes.
Well, and how long did he do?
I mean, like probably the whole act was an hour. He probably did 20 minutes or half an hour of that. Like
rapid fire, boom, 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 boom.
Brilliant.
Wow.
At 90.
Like two or three jokes a minute. Just bang, bang, bang.
And so
bang,
what did you ask him?
I just said to him, I said, it's amazing that you were stepping on the laughs. Like, I've never seen that before. He just smiled at me. Like
young one.
Like I can't even explain this to you right now. This is
you're too far.
Yeah,
too far away.
When you're 60, you might figure it out.
Yeah.
Right.
When you put in this 80 years, then you'll know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait till you're 85. Then you're gonna start hitting your stride. Right. That's what I'm telling you.
But that's funny.
Was,
I mean,
it was amazing.
Well, you know what? Speaking of old comedians, it is now time for a little part of the show.
Okay.
Called the Skippy Green Show.
Oh, nice.
It's the Skippy Green Show.
Well, hello, Dwayne Perkins.
Hey, Skippy. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
I know. You don't have to tell me twice. trust me, it's a pleasure for me, too, to be this close to me.
It's a pleasure to see you with clothes on,
Did
Skippy.
Did I talk to you?
Pardon.
It's all right. You know what's going to happen later.
I know. I'm ready.
You're going to bring the guitar.
I brought my knee pads.
Good girl. Good girl. You're learning.
Mm-hmm.
She learns.
Yeah. Fast learning.
Shut up. All right. Dwayne.
Yes.
Answer the following question in 10 words exactly. Not 11, not 9, 10 words. The whore will count for you.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes. The whore is going to count. So
the whore is going to count.
Yeah, yeah.
What I'm good for.
If you could have sex with any meal at McDonald's,
mm-hmm.
what would it be and why?
Well.
You taking back that word?
Well doesn't count. It's okay. That was okay. A preemptive.
All right.
It would have to be the quarter pounder. okay. Yeah. Pounder.
That's great. Oh, it's fucking great.
What you guys couldn't see is that Dwayne realized he only had two words left, and he's like, yeah. And then he just, with his fist goes, he's like, he like thrusts his fist out going, pounder.
Nice.
That was great. That was, because you know what? That could be the burger or the action.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly.
That's great.
And that's how much he paid her, a quarter for the pounder.
Oh, there you go.
See? It's cheap whore.
Yes.
Cheap whore.
Very cheap.
Where did Skippy go, by the way? He quickly left.
Skippy doesn't stick around after the laugh.
Seriously.
You know that.
He gets the answer. And yeah.
See, he rides the laugh. He's like Marty Allen. He understands.
See, I step on the laugh before the laugh even happens. Exactly. I anticipate the laugh, and I'm already talking over it.
That's because you're 95. A little guys like Marty Allen.
By the way, let me tell you about Marty Allen. Funny story. Me and Marty Allen. This is true. Back in 1972, me and Marty Allen drop acid at a Pink Floyd concert.
Nice.
Now, we're tripping balls when we meet this Middle Eastern skank named Defu.
Defu,
okay. Right? So we take Defu behind these two porta potties, and we're double-teaming her. I'm getting her in the front, Marty Allen slamming her from the back. At one point, she comes so hard, she shits all over Marty. True story. But Marty, ever the professional, doesn't stop to change his clothes. So afterward, I go, Marty, aren't you going to put on a new shirt or something? He goes, nah, it's like that old saying, if the foo shits, wear it.
Nice.
True story. True story.
Yes, I remember.
Beetlejuice.
Pounder, Dwayne.
Pounder.
Dwayne, thank you so much for doing the show, man.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, I hope people enjoyed us talking about traffic and, you know.
Hey, this is what
the
show
is,
man.
That's what's for
dinner. It's what's cooking. It's what's for dinner.
It's what's on our minds.
And, Dwayne, I don't know when exactly it's going to air, but people can see all your tour dates on Dwayne.
Oh, yes. All my tour dates are on my website, DwayneParkins.com. I'm on Laughstub. And I don't know if I told you guys, but I have a new book called Hot Chocolate for the Mind. It just didn't come up, but...
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Now I may turn it into a physical book. It's I've been blogging since 2004, and it's a collection of the best of those blogs.
Oh, that's
and,
so great, man!
I love it. Yeah, what a great idea!
Congratulations, man! So go check out Hot Chocolate for the Mind on Amazon.
Amazon, yes. For right now, Amazon, and because I have a deal with them. So after 90 days, I'll expand it to all the outlets. But right now, it's Amazon.
That's fantastic.
Sit on your iPad and iPhone.
Oh, that's great. Well, definitely check it out, guys. And, of course, Allison at
DirtyGuitarGirl.com.
Yes. Oh, you can get all your links to that stuff, too. Yep. And, of course, guys, you know FlipIsFunny.com. You can check out my tour dates, Facebook, Twitter, all that fun shit. And my movie's still out there. It's out on Amazon and iTunes and Walmart and Best Buy. And it's in Redbox now, we just found out. So please go check it out. 30 Nights of Paranormal Activity with the Devil Inside the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
I took my big breath to say it, and it didn't. I lost all the air.
Well, you got to learn to hold your breath, baby.
I know.
Got to learn. And, guys, we'll be doing more podcasts here from the Slow Fest, the Slow San Luis Obispo Comedy Festival. So next week you'll be most likely hearing another comic buddy of ours from this fest.
And for those of you next year that live in the San Luis Obispo area, come and see us, since you won't hear this until after the festival. Yes, come next year and enjoy us.
All right, guys, we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Yay!
Talking about what's ever on their minds.
Hey, guys, you thought the show was over, didn't you? This is how much we like you. We literally just said goodbye, and Dwayne said, hey, you know what? I wish I thought of this earlier. I would have read one of my stories for my book. And I'm like, dude, we'll just turn the thing back on. Just read it.
So, I appreciate that, Flip.
No
I
problem.
I appreciate the...
So, guys, this is
the encore.
this is the Dwayne Ferguson's encore for this episode. Dwayne, to entice you to go buy his book on Amazon, he's going to read you one of his stories.
Yes, this is... This is, I have a, the categories are, the chapters are L.A., City of Angels, Big Apple, New York. I have another chapter called Shorties, and these are real short stories that are funny.
Okay.
So this is, I'm going to read from the Shorties category. This is all true story. This is real life, people. Hot chocolate for the mind. This is called Pretty Sneaky Sis. I spent most of last weekend playing Connect Four with my 10 and 9-year-old cousins. There's no better confidence builder than pounding on little kids. When the smoke cleared, my win-loss record was 57-2. The two losses, well, one was dumb luck, and the other should have an asterisk, because my cousin put in two red pieces at a time. I called it cheating. She called it improvising. Well, she would have called it that if she knew that word. I rule.
That's great, man.
So stuff like that. Some of them are longer, you know. There's, you know, stuff about me skiing in Dubai in the mall.
Really?
You know, like, just everywhere I've gone, I've, you know, have crazy stuff happen.
That is really great, man. It's a very smart idea, too.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Flip.
You're welcome. So, guys, a little bonus and a little preview into Hot Chocolate from the Mind by Dwayne Perkins.
And I will say this. This is how I describe the book. This is the book David Sedaris would have written if he was a straight black man from Brooklyn doing comedy in Dubai. So there you have it.
If not for that one little caveat, it'd be the exact same same book. That sounds great, man. Don't forget to check out the book, guys. Hot Chocolate for the Mind by Dwayne Perkins. All right. Bye.